Last week, we began a new sermon series on the book of Romans. Romans is a deeply theological book in which the Apostle Paul, in preparation for visiting Christians in Rome, instructs them on what it means to believe and behave as a follower of Christ. The early church struggled, as the church does today, with false and misinterpretation of Christ's teachings. Even Jesus strongly reprimanded the Jewish leaders during his ministry because they added stipulations to God's law that misrepresented God's intent and made it hard for people to serve God. Now, on the flip side were those who had infiltrated the early church, teaching that because of God's grace, what we did in our body didn't matter. This cheapens the enormous sacrifice Jesus made for us. And to this, Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, saying, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it?" As I said last week, the good news of Jesus Christ rescues those who believe from the penalty and power of sin. That is why Paul writes in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." The saving power of the gospel is life transforming. And as I said, there is no such thing as salvation without transformation. Transformation means change. Jesus may accept us as we are, but his presence in our life changes us. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come into being." Now, the new comes when we profess our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And in the Greek, this verse has the connotation of a continuous process. The old continues to pass away, and we continue to become more and more like Jesus as we submit our lives to God, as we live by the power of the Holy Spirit, and as we choose to submit ourselves to God instead of to our flesh and our fleshly desires. Now, toward the end of chapter 1, Paul begins to talk about God's anger at sin, saying that wicked people know the truth about God because throughout creation is seen his eternal power and divine nature. But instead of seeking to know him more, people worship gods of their own making. Poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote in God's Grandeur, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then not wreck his rod?" In other words, why don't people recognize and accept God's divine rule? Well, Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32 gives us an answer. Paul wrote, "Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that never should be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They were backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents." I always got my boys with that one when they act up. I say, you know what? This list includes disobeying parents. God doesn't like that. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Have you ever known somebody that just encourages folk to sin? But then Paul abruptly changes the focus of his teaching from those who don't know God to those who do. At the beginning of chapter 2, saying, therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourselves because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. Now, I'm sure when this was read at the Roman church, that their mouths dropped wide open and somebody probably said, what do you mean we do the very same things? Well, when we who claim to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ forsake his revelation, ignore what the scripture teaches about how we should behave, and choose to live by our own rules and way, we worship gods of our own making as well. And we are just as guilty as those whose lives mirror a sinful world. You know that saying that people been passing around lately, don't judge me because my sin is not yours. Well, unfortunately, that has good connotations and bad connotations. People in the church judge folk, people in the world, judge people in the world all the time. And then we don't treat people the way we're supposed to.
That's right.
Amen. Paul says, do you imagine, whoever you are, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourselves, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? See, one of the biggest traps Christians can fall into is the trap of judging others. And it's so easy to do. But when we judge others, it's like a boomerang. What you throw out will come right back to you. And if you are not careful, it will knock you out. Amen? God is the only righteous judge. As the scriptures teach, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Even when we come to know Christ, we continue to sin in ways that we don't even realize at times, when we take on ungodly attitudes and behaviors. That's why, as Presbyterians, we include the prayer of confession in our worship. You see, we never reach perfection on this side of glory. And we are always in need of confessing our faults to the Lord. But those who have been rescued from the powers of darkness, those who have been transferred to the kingdom of God's Son, should know from whence they've come. Amen? We should know from whence we've come when dealing with people who are trapped in sin, and most certainly not think ourselves better, because there but for the grace of God go I. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. You see, no one has ever been born free of sin but Jesus. Amen? So who are we to judge others. Now, don't get me wrong. We make judgments every day. And we need to discern for ourselves what is false and what is immoral. And even in situations where we are involved with people, we need to be able to discern what is good and what is bad. But this judging has to do with judgmental attitudes that tear others down in order to lift oneself up. It has to do with having a critical and condemning attitude toward others. There's nothing worse than a critical spirit. Amen? Experiencing God's grace should cause us to be compassionate and merciful. When we deal with people, when we come across people who are struggling with sin, we ought not look down at them. We ought not compare ourselves to them. We ought not compare our journey to them. Because until you walk in someone else's shoes, you have no idea. Amen. No idea what's happened to them, what has caused them to stumble, what has caused them to get on that road. But what we are supposed to do is have compassion and show mercy. And because God has delivered us, we ought to know how to pray for somebody else. Amen. I think sometimes we forget and we think that we did it all ourselves. Amen. You see, our story of deliverance, when shared properly, can be instructive and helpful to somebody else. When the Spirit leads us to do so. When the Spirit doesn't lead us, we come off as what? Self-righteous. Amen? And yes, everyone does not want to be free. Some folk like the sin they're in. But we're not called to judge those folk. We are called to pray for them, and if they are our family members, if they are our friends, if they are people whom we love, then we need to release them to God. Nobody ever came to Christ by you beating up on them and telling them they were going to hell. Amen? They already know. Ultimately, each of us will have to give an account for our attitudes and our actions before the only righteous judge, and that is Jesus Christ. So why do people judge? Well, one reason is to make themselves feel better about themselves. Self-righteousness is sinful too. The scriptures warn about this, saying, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought. And it also says what? Pride goes before the fall. Just the time that you think you won't do something and you're looking down on somebody else is the time the devil will get you every time. And before you know it, you're sinning worse than them. See, it's a trap. The devil's tools, they don't get old. He keeps doing the same thing because it works. Amen? He knows human nature. He's been studying it since we were created. But we have the Spirit. Amen? So the bottom line is this. When we are busy judging other people's behavior, we are focused on the wrong thing. When we do so, we will miss out on what God is trying to say to us about our own spiritual growth. And we take our focus off of the one who we should be focusing on. And that's Jesus Christ. So, this is a challenge to all of us. If you find yourself talking about people, if you find yourself being critical of people's behaviors, if that always ends up in your conversation when you're with your friends and when you're on the phone, it's time to change. It's a trap. It's a trap of the enemy. Because see, when you're focused on what everybody else is doing, you can't hear God and what God wants to say to you about you. And when you think that you're better than somebody else, you are already in sin. Because there is none righteous, and our righteousness is just filthy rags. That's why Jesus shed his blood for us. To those who have been forgiven much, they ought to be really merciful. Amen. The Lord is good. Jesus, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who is able to keep us from falling. As Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault." Amen. It's Jesus. It's never us. Any goodness in me is because of Jesus. And at any minute I could mess up if it's not but for his grace. That goes for everybody. Amen. Let's not throw that boomerang of judgment, because it just might come back and knock us out. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. The enemy has so many types of traps and distractions to keep us from being the people you're calling us to be. But when we have our eyes on the faults of others, we do not have our eyes on you. Forgive us, God. Purify our hearts, our desires, our motives. Help us, God, to walk in your truth. God, that you may be able to present us before your glorious presence without a single fault. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.